apologies to all of you whom we were supposed to be traveling to China on this trip that is on and off. I can see the questions raised with me about whether I'm going or not for preparatory processes. I am just as convinced like yourselves that, you know, the trip might no longer be possible because nobody is telling anything to ourselves whether we are or not. So I think we need to accept that the trip is off and continue doing our work as normal. With that being the case, welcome everybody. We want to wish Amapokopoko a very, very good life in their day-to-day living. I think they are making us proud. A painful proud, though. You will know that the last very important key three games of building up to the final, it was a one-point win every single match of it. 16, 15, 11, 12, and so forth and so on. But you could see the commitment, the anger, the fight, and the spirit of camaraderie that was played there. And if we can work like that as Springbok, short as parties in Parliament, we must try to work like that with all our differences in the Rainbow Nation, but striving for South Africa that must help its people, rather than political parties that believe they want to serve only their people, but not the country. This, the team Springbok shows as that, and they will be welcomed whilst we are sitting here in the meeting just now in Al Jambo in advance. I want to wish them well in their arrival in South Africa, in their stay in with their families at home. We put a stage near the house of Trevor Nyakani in Pushpakrish, because he's from my hometown. So we're sitting next to his parents and then those who are not there, able to go to France, watching him dancing there and doing all manner of things. I must also wish well my nephew, who is Miss Wells. She was actually staying in this house when she was doing all other things. She was staying with me in Gauteng. But she left later to start preparing. She is now Miss World. Now Mashiko is in the world, honorable strike, with the most beautiful woman in the world. And I want to wish her well also. She is not yet home. We'll look at her when she comes. The Banyala Banyana has won yesterday, beating the DRC, and I think we must wish them well. The cricket team is on their way. We hope they win also in order for us to succeed. And we must also wish Bafana Bafana in their quest to win. At least Bafana must give us something also. They have not been giving us anything for some time. With that in mind, we must also welcome the holiday. We're given a holiday on the 15th of December. It's a holiday that is ending on top of all the holidays that we have. Appreciate it because people will take a long rest during December period. With that in mind, I want to observe the moment of silence for meditation and of prayer. Thank you very much. Apologies, Masipo.
Good morning, Shepherd. Can you hear me?
Yes, I do.
there is an apology for Deputy Minister Mashobo. He's out of the country on business. There is also an apology for the DG, Mr. Phillips, an apology for Mr. Mtunu. They are attending to urgent matters. Deputy Minister Chabalala and Dr. Lusenga are leading the delegation for this meeting.
Jefferson, morning.
Nobody can put an apology for you and then you enter the meeting.
No, Mashik, I decided to join just for 2 hours while I'm doing this engagement here in Karo. And if I'm available, I need to come and support my department and you as our chair. And your nephew, congratulations, thank you. No, it's an early departure, Comrade Chair.
Okay, it changes the stage, that's fine. Any other person who is holding any apology that you are not aware of? None. Item 3. Briefing by the Department of Water and Sanitation on the realignment of boards. And this was the demand which was made last week. We did answer in that demand from Honorable Maslala that the issue of the configuration of the boards shall be in the first item of the agenda today. So here it is. Honorable Shawala.
Thank you so much, Honorable Chair. I need to switch on my video so you can see me. I hope you can because for some reason I can't see myself. But here I am. I'm going to switch it off. Chair, let me thank you for the opportunity to present from the department. I want to greet dear Mashobo as well for being in the meeting as much as is in Cairo, representing us there in a foreign country. And obviously the minister's apology has been cited, including the DG's apology that has been cited. Honorable Chairperson of the committee, Comrade Mashobo, I'm not alone today. We have the officials, the DDG Lusenga will lead the department, and we've invited and extended an invite to from our side just to make sure what you said last time when we deal with such matters that also the board are represented. So we've extended in our midst we're having the representatives from water boards, Ms. P. Nyako, Ms. S. Koyo, Nyako is the chairperson, Ms. S. Koyo is the acting chief executive, Ms. N. Nontembeko, active financial officer, Mr. Yumbali, manager, and the Vowel Central Water, we've invited Advocate S. Msipi, who's the chairperson, and we have Mr. Tingu Beni, the executive project and engineer, and Mr. M. Raputungane, Executive Operation Maintenance. On the Lepele Northern Water, we've got Dr. Mpepo, who's the chairperson, Dr. C. Ritus, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. M. Ramalato, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. N. Nogeri, the Manager of Strategy and Planning. Mahalis Water, we have Dr. K. Sibeko, chairperson of the Mahalis Water, Ms. M. Matulong, Deputy Chairperson, Mr. S. Nkize, Chief Executive, Mr. Musala, Board Member, Ms. M. Dabane, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. S. Jele, the Strategy Manager. On Umgeni Utukela Water, we've got Dr. S. Manana, who's the Acting Chief Executive, Mr. N. Ngema, Strategy Manager, Mr. S. Porter, Strategy Manager. Rainwater, we've got Mr. T. Nyandoro, who's the Strategy Manager. And over Backwater, we've got Dr. P. Butelezi, Chief Executive, Ms. E. Jeffries, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. X. Ndledre, Technical Manager. And as I said, you would have noted the apologies thereof, obviously in the Vowel Central. Dr. L. Morosi, the Acting Chief Executive, as part of the apology. Now, tell you just opening remarks more of issues that we are highlighting at the level of the ministry. We want to say since being appointed, Minister Mthunu has developed the implemented a reconfiguration of the water boards. The reconfiguration is based on considerations of financial sustainability, the need to service areas that are not currently serviced by water boards, addressing institutional confusion caused by having multiple water boards serving the same area, aligning the boundaries of the water boards to really better with the provincial boundaries so that we understand the rationale, and also achieving economics of scale is part of the reasons that we saw the reconfiguration of water boards. That will not only solve the underlying problems of non-payment of municipalities as part of the issues that would have been flagged, that's the reasons why we had to do this. And of course, the inability or unwillingness of municipalities at times to really pay that debt to the water boards. Of course, there is a reason for other municipalities that are quite aiding, but it's also part of the symptomatic of the general worsening financial situation of many municipalities, as highlighted by the reports of the National Treasury. Now, the Auditor General and COFSA would have also been cited, but the Water Board is starting to really implement stringent credit control measures, including restriction supply to non-paying municipalities in its areas of supply. Now, our presentation, it covers the summary of Water Board's the corporate plans for the 23-24 financial year that really would have submitted their corporate plans and shareholder compact pay your agenda item to the department on the 30th of April 2023. These financial corporate plans and shareholder compacts were also submitted to, obviously, the Water and Sanitation National Treasury on the 31st of May 2023. And subsequently, there have been the corporate plans were tabled in Parliament on Thursday, the 6th of July 2023, so that is noted that it has been submitted to Parliament. Now, the Water and Sanitation is developing an improved oversight model to really strengthen the governance, financial performance, and service delivery for all these entities reporting to the minister. And this we do to ensure that the shareholder compacts are entered between the minister and the boards, and the monitoring and well-regulated with clear key performance indicators. What I appreciate, Chairperson, it's not easy most of the times where we would see in other entities that the shareholder compact has been always a challenge to really achieve. We are saying as DWS, indeed, we are committed to ensure that shareholder compacts are well-regulated and with clear performance indicators. Part of the presentation, Chair, it also covers the overview on the budget over the MTF and financial sustainability. And as honourable members are aware, the water boards are really facing severe financial difficulties due to the non-payment by municipalities. The problems also are exacerbated by the fact that there is no legal obligations necessarily for municipalities to really spend the revenues that they raise from the sale of water on water services. And we'll see many municipalities prioritize other expenditure with revenue from sale of water. And if this water board goes bankrupt and stops providing services, we see it as a challenge that it means that municipalities in the areas served by water boards will no longer receive the treated water. Now, Water and Sanitation has been engaging and, you know, ongoing National Treasury, the water boards and SALGA to identify appropriate measures to address the debt owed by municipalities to the water boards. And there's been a number of interventions that at the level of the department that it would have developed standardized credit control processes across these water boards The standard operating procedures have been developed in consultation with National Treasury and SALGA, and a consultation process with all relevant parties, including the water service authorities, that would have been concluded. And DWS, through the Minister Mpunu, is now going to consult with various boards of seven water boards, after which it would be adopted. The standard operating procedures include consistent enforcement of water restrictions, of non-payment municipalities, and legal processes to attach municipal bank accounts when necessary. It has been agreed that water sanitation will definitely collaborate with the National Treasury to ensure that equitable share allocations are withheld from these municipalities that are not paying their current water board invoices. And part of the intervention is that the bulk prepaid meters will be installed by water boards in municipalities with a poor payment record as part of engagements and that are happening to ensure that indeed it covers the governance status, the innovations that water boards will undertake to ensure that the strategic infrastructure projects for 23-24 financial year are indeed met. And I want to also speak to the rationale, and I think that's why it's important for us to be able to put it with clear terms, that part of why it was very crucial is that the financial sustainability of the primary reasons for the reconfiguration is to ensure that the financial sustainability of water boards, and many water boards have faced financial challenges in part due to non-payment of fees and charges by these municipalities. Now, reconfiguration aims to address this issues and create a more stable financial foundation for these entities. This matters of service expansion. You have issues of the reconfiguration process that really aims to extend water and sanitation services to areas that are currently underserved and not only served at all by the water boards, but expanding the coverage of these boards more communities can access clean, safe water, contributing to an improved public health and well-being. And it would want to, part of why Minister Mpunu really felt it was important, is this matters of institutional clarity. Where South Africa has faced institutional confusion caused by multiple water boards at times, saving the same geographical areas. So reconfiguration seeks to eliminate this overlap, making it clearer which water board is responsible for which region. This can enhance accountability and streamline the service provision. And I thought I needed to highlight this so that we can understand definitely this alignment. And would also see it around the provincial alignments, where the reconfiguration process definitely aims to align the boundaries of water boards more effectively with provincial boundaries. And this alignment would definitely, from where we are seated at the ministry, can lead to a better, better and more coordinated cooperation between the provincial and local governments, improving the overall delivery of water and sanitation services. The matters of economics of scale, achieving this economics of scale is another important rationale. By reconfiguring these water boards, there may be opportunities that we oversee to reduce this duplication of administrative functions and optimize resources utilized. This will can potentially lead to cost saving and more efficient operations. We have matters around debt recovery, and I've spoken more around the inability of municipalities, the debt owed to water boards. It is a significant challenge that we know about in this portfolio committee, and the reconfiguration is part of a strategy that seeks to address this issue, which is left unattended, and if left unattended, really can jeopardize the financial viability of water boards. And the part that is very important to honorable members is this method of enhancing the service delivery, because we're saying ultimately the reconfiguration of the water board is aimed at improving the service delivery and ensuring that communities have this reliable water, and access to water and sanitation services becomes a very crucial public health in so far as economic development and overall quality of life is concerned. There are matters of legal and regulatory compliance as well that are shifting out, where we are saying in the reconfiguration, it helps to ensure that this water board can comply with relevant legal and regulatory frameworks, and it will help and assist in aligning their operations with national and provincial policies, strategies, and mandates. So that's why we're seeing the reconfiguration of the boards in South Africa, it is definitely driven by a combination of financial, operational, and governance considerations with the ultimate goal of improving this water and sanitation service delivery, ensuring that we indeed have more of a financial sustainability and aligning these entities with the broader objectives of the government and water and sanitation policies, Chairperson. And this is why we are responding to the portfolio Committee on Water and Sanitation invitation to really take you on board on these matters relating to the boards. The presentation, as you will see, it covers part A would cover the progress on the reconfiguration of the water boards, would have part B that covers presentation on summary on the board's corporate plans and their financial year, and part C will cover the overview budget of the MTEF financial sustainability, wherein it will take us through where we are, the configuration of the water board itself, and the corporate plans that we have, the budget overview and financial sustainability, and of course, matters of governance, innovation, and strategic infrastructure projects that indeed we are looking at. Now, I'm going to hand over to Ms. Lusenka Chairperson, through yourself, the DDG, to really lead us in this presentation. She's also not alone in a unit. She's got Ms. Toko Sigwaza as well as supporting in this manner. So I'll say to Ms. Lusenga, with those opening, if you can go to slide 4 of the presentation, because slide 1 and 2, we've covered the contents that while we're here and the purpose is quite clear, so that you are able to speak to this matter's chair. On your agenda item, you also have shareholder compact as the second part, meaning the second agenda item. However, our presentation is touching on both of these matters. And so you'll bear with us on that part. Let me allow Ms. Lusenga to come in, please.
Thank you, DM. And good morning, honorable members, DM, present.
And
the water boards, chairs, and CEs that are on the platform. Let me proceed as directed. I will switch off the video, so that I can be quick and
Please
also not be affected by the.
Okay, please hold on the chair
while the gigabyte
is something.
On slide, let me start on the reconfiguration. I'll present the reconfiguration, and the latter part of the presentation will be presented by Ms. Toko Sigwaza. Chair, we were here in February to give you the status of reconfiguration. We are updating the status that we provided. We have moved with speed, Chairperson. So on slide 5, it gives us the legislative and constitutional imperatives that have guided us in order for us to be where we are. Those that constitutional provision in section 10, and then also that talks about the provision of water and sanitation services by municipalities that will result to people gaining dignity and not being gaining dignity because we need to provide water and sanitation. And also that is why the minister has taken this decision to support the municipalities by expanding the boundaries and also reconfiguring the water board, as the DM has indicated. Section 27.2 of the Constitution, where we need to make available resources to achieve progressive realization of the right to water. And this, we are an example in the world as a country for having this provision in our constitution. And also the water board, the act that established the water board, which is the Water Services Act, where minister has the duty to disestablish, where in consultation with the provinces, as we note.
Yes, Lusenga, Togo, can you help us with
some of the
Lusenga, please? We have she's not connecting with us.
Make sure
she's not connecting with us from where she is. DDG Lusenga, please hold on. You're moving
ahead. Slide 5.
You see. Lusenga,
okay,
and Joy.
I'm still on slide 5. I'm told that the slides are not moving.
Can somebody make
and
Lusenga to wait?
And also, minister is also a shareholder. And that is why we have a shareholder compact. Constitutional and legislative, I will ask that she's muted.
Yeah, that's better. Yeah, that's better. She's not moving chair with the presentation, and it seems that her feeder is not connecting with us. She's not alone there. Ms. Togo, please do us a favor. We don't want these glitches, all right? She did mention that you would take on the presentation. You can just start on that slide 5, Togo, if you are there and you have a good connection with us, so Lusenga can follow us properly. If you can do that, if that's okay, Chairperson.
Any intervention is welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Ms. Toko? All right. Looks like they do have a feeder problem because I know that they're in the office, all of them. I can take on the presentation, Joy. You will just have to continue with myself. I know it's unprecedented. However, this is work that we've done for all of us.
Don't create an unprecedented work. Why don't you give you 5 minutes to correct the situation?
Okay, now then that's fine, Chairperson. Thanks for your guidance. Let me just be on call with them. Thank you.
Please.
The next slide, the principles that have also guided us, DM has mentioned them. The issue of capacity and capability of entities of provinces and also leveraging...
Where are you, Ms. Where?
And also the issue of maintaining financial viability and liquidity. That is very, very important for us to
work this way,
the market. And also to enable water ports to better support water services
in
geographic areas that are serviced by water ports.
Can you request the
host to mute it? Yes, I think it's better.
Talk to them,
Honorable Chabalat.
Yes, I'm trying to connect with them from that side. That's why I'm surprised that Ms. Togo Sikwaza is not coming in.
Chairperson, this is Musi here. DM, I've spoken to Togo, and she has spoken to Lusenga.
Okay. So Lusenga needs to start afresh on slide 5.
But if you say you see it and she does not do the right thing, what do you mean?
I think we must start afresh.
Okay. Okay, thank you. I'm directed to start afresh.
Lusenga, do you hear us? Let's start there.
Okay.
Ms. Lusenga, do you hear us?
Chairperson?
Do you hear us?
Chairperson, can you hear me?
No, no, Lucinda,
she's
not connecting with us. Yeah, where is Togo? Togo, can you take on? Because we can hear ourselves, but when DDG presents, she's not following with us. Kind of like she does it. She hears us after. You know, she's moving ahead. And she's not speaking to the flight as flighted.
We hear you, DM. We're trying to sort the flight for the DVD.
We're on flight 5. Do you see what has been flighted? The question.
Yes. Yes, the DVD. I'm here. My apologies.
Okay, do you hear us now, Lusinga?
Yes, I do hear you.
All right. Start from slide 5 as flighted and go with the slides as flighted. Then we can follow you properly.
When you are passionate about the West,
that
you get
a lot of energy. Thank you
so much.
There's a bit of echo that is coming out. We can hear ourselves that you have... you would have opened it up for everybody. So it does make an echo from where you are. And you can hear ourselves reporting ourselves. If that can be corrected, please.
Is the echo off?
Yeah, that's better. So you can continue.
Yes. This slide, on slide 5, members, honorable members, it talks to the constitutional and legislative imperative from both the Constitution and the Water Services Act, and the provisions are on Section 10 of the Constitution, which talks about the government can intervene to be able to support the municipalities in the provision of water, of municipalities to provide water and sanitation services. The other section is Section 27.2, which talks about this progressive realization of the rights to water. And as you know, we are one of the few countries in the world, and we are the torchbearer for the world for us to be able to have this provision in our constitution. And on the Water Board, on the Water Services Act, the provision is in Section 28, where Minister, remember, as you may, Minister DM has indicated, as we were reconfiguring, some of the entities were disestablished. That is, the Minister has that provision that allows him in Section 28 of the Water Services Act, and also the Section 29, whereby indicates the primary activity of water boards to provide bulk water and recirculation to other water services institutions. So as we're reconfiguring, you see that at least we have complied or used this frame for us, these legal and constitutional imperatives for us to be able to move forward. And also, lastly, under this slide, Minister, as a shareholder, you'll see in the coming slides, Minister has given that strategic intent and giving the marching orders to his entities as water boards to be able to perform this duty, and also provide him also to do oversight, which also ends up being provided by yourself as this committee. The next slide. The change drivers of the water boards. As we're reviewing the water boards, we looked at the performance. We were guided by the fact that these water boards must cover the areas geographically, and DM has spoken about overlap. We've addressed those overlaps. Like for an example, in the places like Etwani Metro, whereby we have two water boards that are servicing, and then we have given that direction. And also in some instances, we needed to look at the relationship between water boards and municipalities that are poor, so that we can be able to achieve this goal of us providing water, as the DM has indicated, and to improve the relationships with the municipalities. And also the issue of financial viability, members, is very, very important. And as you see, that, that is one of the issues that we looked at, and we are monitoring it quite very well. And also the issue of the client base. And so, Chairperson, the issue of financial sustainability is also very important, because remember, these water boards need to be sustainable, and also they need to have the, like, the muscle to raise finance in the market. So that is why this issue of financial sustainability is very, very key. So the other issue was related to governance. As you may see in the coming slides, that we made sure that governance is intact and nothing falls apart, and we move along with everybody, and as we disestablish and also merging these institutions. The next slide. The principles that have guided us was related to capacity, so that we are able to achieve the purpose of the strengthening of capacity and capability and the, of the entities in the provinces, and also looking at the leveraging on the existing technical skills. And also the issue of maintaining financial viability, this is very key, as I've mentioned, for raising capital in the market, and also the rationalization of the numbers, and also enhancing or ensuring the economics of scale. And transformation and improved governance was key, and also the alignment of water board boundaries with provincial boundaries as far as possible. And what was key also, Chairperson, as this reconfiguration happened, no one was left behind, particularly the workers, because, you know, most they have got rights, and as you move along, no one lost the job. That was the assurance that we gave. Next slide. Chairperson, this slide talks to the reconfiguration, the board itself. We said there were 9, now there are 7. From these 9, Minister disestablished Sidibeng, and Mhlathuze was merged with Umngeni Uthukela, and then Umngeni and some of them changed names, and then this is how they were reconfigured. Umngeni is now called Umngeni Uthukela Water. That covers the KwaZulu-Natal province. Rentwater covers, is not, the name has not changed. It covers Mpumalanga and Gauteng provinces. And Lepelle Northern Water is now going to cover Limpopo. The name has not changed. Magalies is still Magalies Water, and it is going to cover the Northwest province. Bloem Water has changed its name. It's now called Vaal Central and Free State and Northern, and is covering Free State and Northern provinces. Amatola is going to cover Eastern Cape province, and it's, the name has not changed. And Overberg is now going to cover the Western Cape, as the whole province of the Western Cape. Let's move to the next slide. This slide indicates just the progress. I don't think I should go deeply on it, but safe to say that the process was followed to gazette, most of them, all of them, and particularly the ones that were changing name, like Bloem Water, to be Vaal Central, and I've indicated the coverage in the previous slide. So that gazette was in July 2023, and then also, as we mentioned, that governance was important. We appointed the new board, Minister appointed the new board for the Vaal Central Water, and that started its work from October 2023. Magalies Water and Rand Water, they were overlapping. We are indicating those overlaps, and in the next slide, we are going to show what is happening on those overlaps. Those overlaps have been sorted out, and making sure that the asset transfer goes with ease, and also the due diligence is in process, and both the entities are working towards
making sure that this rationalization and of business operations and assets owned by both entities located in Tshwane and Northwest and Mpumalanga are very well aligned with the vision of the Water Board province. So those are from 1 to 6. They indicate the those overlaps and then also where the supply has been affected in the various areas. Next slide. This is just the map that is explaining just the for us to move. And then the next slide, pass the map. And on this slide, what is important is to look at what has been the current owner and then and the water source and the location and the locality of progress and the customers that are affected and also the related estimated replacement value and the staff that is affected together with the volumes of water that are, that is in question. So you'll see the all of that in that slide, yes. The rainwater, there was in the valve system. The locality is Gauteng. I'll just mention the few. Let me go also to Cullinan system, Mpumalanga. Now the locality of the plant is in Gauteng. So those I'm just demonstrating the overlaps that we were sorting so that you have the details of what is happening as we were looking addressing the issues of overlap. So that is the purpose of this slide and the related values and the replacement values. Next slide. The next slide also continues here also. It's on Sidibeng. We indicated, we're just explaining the process of the disestablishment of Sidibeng and incorporating into Mahalis and Bloem, and then which is now called Val Central. What is happening is here is that I think this is on course. It was appropriately gazetted legally so in July last year. And there's a staff transfer agreement signed in December 2022. And what is important to note, members, is that as we transfer staff, we allow for the transition period of about a year so that we settle all the issues and we learn and improve, the entities learn and improve where they need to improve. And then thanks to the labor, they have allowed us to do that. And it is the smooth, the transition went very well. And the Sidibeng was disestablished, as I've shared, it is shared between, incorporated between the two water boards. And then from this instance, we are waiting for the annual report will be released and be ready for tabling in November 2023. Next slide. This is just the demonstration of the assets and liabilities of Sidibeng. And then this is just for information. To demonstrate that there was thorough work that was done between Mahalis and Val Central chairpersons. And those are the figures in terms of the total assets, total liabilities, and total reserves. And so we are not, we are monitoring that closely, chairperson as a department, and we're working with these entities. And from time to time, we get guidance from our principals. So the impact is the same on the revenue collected versus the operational expenditure of these entities. The next slide. You may recall that Umhlathuze has been disestablished, and then it is now under merged with Umgeni, and the new name for Umgeni is now called Umgeni Uthukela. And then what we are reporting here, this establishment happened from 30th of June this year, and then the name has been changed, and the new board has been appointed. So, Chairperson, we're assuring you that as we're going along, we did not compromise on the issue of governance. So, Minister and the DMs have monitored this process with due diligence, and then there was a due diligence that was conducted to
arrive at this point. And the teams work very well together with labor to come at this point. And also, we are envisaging that the whole process will be completed by the end of December, and then the delisting of Mhlathizwe has happened as scheduled. This process will include the delisting and also the preparation of the financial statements and annual financial statements and the annual reports. So, Chairperson, and this just indicates just demonstrating that what was happening, the values, which Mhlathizwe was at, how much it was, the Mhlathizwe water was at, the revenue was at 643, and Umgeni is when they transfer, it was at Umgeni water at that time was at 4.9 billion. So the consolidated amounts are indicated on both in terms of revenue, net asset value, cash and cash and equivalent, and the staff complement. So what is important to note is that nobody lost their jobs. The staff from Mhlathizwe went to Umgeni, and then we are applying the same principles of transfer agreement that was engaged on. Also, no one lost their jobs, and then the board is also monitoring that closely. And also safe to say that when this process was happening between Mhlathizwe and Umgeni, the two water boards work very well to achieve the mission and the mandate as directed by our principals, the minister. Yeah, so these are the figures, just for your information. I've explained it further in the previous slide, and then also the borrowing limits. And then currently, this demonstrates that the individual are within the individual Lenawee within their borrowing limits. However, we are envisaging that in terms of our forecast, the reconfiguration entity will exceed its borrowing limit in 2027. And as that time comes, we will prepare accordingly to ensure that they get the related approvals from the National Treasury, because the National Treasury is the one that has got the authority. We always get the authority from the National Treasury for our entities to increase their borrowing limit. The next slide. This is Rand Water. We are expecting that the final due diligence will be completed by the 30th of December. And then what is important is to note that all the gazetting, the legal process has happened. And Rand Water boundary will be extended to cover Mpumalanga and Gauteng province. And like I've talked about, the legal process of gazetting notice as it is required for us in terms of the Water Services Act, and then we're expecting the final due diligence to happen on the 30th of December. So this is work in progress, and the reconfiguration of Lipelle will be covering the rest of Limpopo, and then there are technical discussions that are taking place between Lipelle and Magalies on the assets that are transferred because there was an overlap, and also the high-level due diligence analysis will be expected to be completed in December 2023. Chairperson, the next one, Amatola, as we've indicated, is covering the Eastern Cape, and it was also appropriately gazetted in November last year. And then also we are expecting the high-level desktop due diligence analysis to be completed by November 2023, by this end of this month that you are going to. And then Overbeck, as we've indicated, is going to cover the Western Cape, Chairperson, and then that was also gazetted in November last year, and then for 60 days, and then we are also expecting also that to get a high-level due diligence by the end of 2023. Next one, Chairperson, I will stop here. Ms. Togo Sikwaza will take us through, and let's appreciate also the support, and that is the status in terms of where we are for us to be able to give you the status of the reconfiguration. May I request through you, Chair, Ms. Sikwaza, to take us through the next slide.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable members and honourable CM and colleagues from the water board sector. I won't repeat Chairperson, the legislative framework. It has already been discussed. Safe to say that in terms of the PFMA and Treasury regulations, Water Board are expected to submit their corporate plans to the minister a month before the start of the financial year. They are also expected to conclude a shareholder compact that outlines what they are going to do between the minister as the executive and also the Water Board. Next slide, please, Cindy. In terms of the governance protocol for entities, the minister meets with the chairpersons of water boards at least twice in a year, but we know that our minister has been meeting them more frequently, mainly to outline the strategic vision of where they need to go. And in terms of their corporate plan, is embedded on the department strategic plan, which serves as a guide for entities to, in terms of the vision and strategic direction. Then they conclude a shareholder compact with the minister, which documents the mandated key performance indicators that they need to achieve, and then they submit their corporate plans to the department before the end of the financial year. And then we monitor them on a quarterly basis where they provide reporting, and also the annual report is submitted to Parliament by end of November. They also submit their submissions to Parliament by 15th of March every year, and they also appear before the Portfolio Committee at least once or twice a year. This is the business process flow, which indicates the flow of corporate plans when they are, and shareholder compacts when they are received. It's quite an intensive process. By 30th of April, they submit to the department, and there's a rigorous process of interviewing, of analyzing the corporate plans. This includes also National Treasury and SALGA, and by end of June, July, they are tabled in Parliament. Next slide. In terms of this process, the corporate plans were received on 30 April. There were appraisal sessions around 23-24 May, and the final corporate plans and shareholder compacts were submitted to the Department and National Treasury on 31 May, and they were tabled in Parliament on the 6th of July 2023. In terms of the strategic objectives that are in the shareholder compact that minister signs with the board, they include the issues around ensuring financial viability and sustainability, how they are going to involve stakeholder engagement, the way that they have to plan for adequate water resources, looking at water demand management, ensuring sustainable growth, and also communication with the public and their customers, and also ensuring compliance with legislative prescripts and financial sustainability. During the year under review, these are the four key performance indicators that we reviewed to comply with the current legislation. They include the water quality, the issues around management of water losses, the reliability of supply, and also the increased access to services. Next slide, please, Cindy. These are the selected objectives and indicators that are outlined in the shareholder compact. They include, these are the critical for the business of water boards. They include the water quality compliance. They need to comply with the South African National Standards 241, where we encourage them to at least to achieve 100% compliance, so that we are sure that the public is safe to drink water from the tap. They include the non-revenue water, where we look at the water losses and unaccountable water and as a percentage of produce. And this water boards have been doing very well so far. All our water boards are between 3% and 15% in terms of the water losses. We are trying to reach the international standards, which is less than 10%. So far, they have done very well in the previous. Yeah. In terms of the reliability of supply, they are supposed to deal with interruptions to water supply within 24 hours. So that is the standard that has been set for them. In terms of the financial reporting, they are supposed to all get, we are working towards unqualified audit reporting. In terms of the increase, access to services. We look at the capital investment that they make into the infrastructure development, and in terms of governance, they are also supposed to ensure that they comply with the good governance and risk, and also the putting the controls in place. Next slide, please. In terms of bulk supply agreements, they are supposed to conclude a supply agreement with all municipalities, and this is a major issue where municipalities, most of them do not want to enter into bulk agreements with water boards. They are also supposed to account separately for their secondary business, and we also need to ensure that we measure how much they depend on the secondary business as a percentage of their total turnover. In terms of training and skills development, they also need to demonstrate that they are capacitating their workers and staff through learnership, bursaries, and graduate programs. The number 10 is a critical one in terms of the jobs created. They report also on a quarterly basis in terms of the permanent and contract jobs that they have created. And the corporate social responsibility initiatives, they need to provide social support in terms of the generator. In summary, in terms of the stakeholder compact, we are satisfied that the shareholders compact, that they complied with the submission, and also in terms of corporate plan, they were analyzed, and we looked at all the plans that are supposed to be contained in terms of governance, financial, capital expenditure, risk, HR, and environmental and water conservation. So, Chairperson, we were very pleased with that, and they have put a considerable effort to comply with the prescripts of the corporate plan. And in terms of the, we are also improving the oversight model to strengthen governance and financial performance. We have also got a specialist support to support us in terms of ensuring that they are also resilient in terms of the infrastructure system. The next slide, please. In terms of their budget, which accompanies their corporate plans, Chairperson, they over the next 3 years in terms of the MTEF, we are expecting them to invest 37.6 billion in terms of the revenue to collect 37.6 revenue and over the 3 year period, and we are also expecting them to invest 30.8 billion in terms of the capital expenditure. Most of these amounts, the bulk of it comes from rainwater and Mgeni water. In terms of the growth of the water sector, I think we have raised this before, that the issue of debt remains a main threat. And at end of August, 17.8 billion was owed to water boards. And also 15.6 was owed to our water trading entity,
and water trading had entity had to write off 2.1 billion. So this is a main a risk for the growth of our water board in the sector. The next slide, please. In terms of the impact of growing debt on water board, the Director General has engaged. He held a consultation process and invited the key stakeholders, SALCA, Treasury, and COFTA, and also Minister wrote to all the 144 water services authorities in the country, and also to 9 members of the Executive Council, and with regard to this threat to the financial sustainability of the water board. And the AG has raised concerns because if water board can continue like this, if the AG declare them as not going concerned, this will be a huge risk to them, because it means they will not be able to go and borrow in the market. The main water board that is affected is the Vaal Central, which is owed about 7.6 billion, of which 5.5 is owed by Machabeng. And this is not the new information, Chairperson. In terms of the next slide, the proposals for strengthening credit control, they have been tabled to the portfolio committee before, where the DG has intervened, and we have developed a standardized credit control processes across the water board, and we are proposing that they should be standard operating procedures, which will enforce water restrictions for those defaulting and non-paying municipalities. And we are proposing, Chair, that if there is a consistent lack of payment, we must start attaching municipal bank accounts where necessary. And we are also going to collaborate with National Treasury to discuss the issues around the equitable share allocations, whether they should be withheld for those municipalities that are not paying. And we are motivating for the bulk prepaid meters to be installed for water boards with a poor payment record. So those are the proposals. In terms of governance or status of water board Chairperson, we have done very well. All the 6 water boards now have their all boards in place, with the exception of Amadola Water. Amadola Water is because there is a court order that is preventing minister from appointing a board due to the former board members who took us to court around the board appointment processes. So in terms of there are no vacancies in most boards. We have 3 acting CEs in the sector, and only 1 acting CFO, and the corporate plans were submitted on time. In terms of the audit outcomes, we are waiting by end of November this financial year the submission of the audit report, and we can see good reports coming in, but they will be formally tabled, with Amadola getting a positive audit outcome, and Rainwater, and they are positive, but we will be submitting formally by end of November. And I think the next slide, please. In terms of the innovation, there has been very good innovation in the sector, as in terms of the business, water boards are trying to innovate so that they are able to operate and ensure that the business is going very well. Mahalis Water has introduced a new technology around non-revenue water, and this technology allows them to detect leaks real time and give information real time
they are able also to deal with the demand management and also to ensure that they improve pressure management, and all of this is done virtually just to allow them to be able to manage the whole system better. Next slide, please. The other innovation is to make sure that the chlorine booster stations are installed across the distribution terminals. This allows also to sterilize the water and kill the pathogens around the whole pipeline. So it's a way of innovation. The major one that we are looking forward to good results is the remediation of RDPS dam. We know that this one has been attacked by the hyacinths in the dam, and there is a new technology that Mahali is doing, is implementing to make sure that the dam is back to normal water quality. The next one is around the rainwater. There has been a very good plan and initiatives to look at the online water quality analysis and also the groundwater digital analysis. And they are hoping that by 2025, they will be a smart digital water company and will be with visual sensors being implemented across the pipeline network. I think those are some of the examples where they are now able to use satellite image analysis to assess the nature of the groundwater online, and also to ensure that bacterial detection happens during wherever you are. And then the next one is Umgeni. I've covered that one, Sinki. The next one is Umgeni Utugela Water. They have also focused on new technologies and innovation in terms of the water resource management and pollution. And they have the next slide. I think they have spent a considerable amount on this new innovation, focusing on water resource management, pollution and environmental management, water and wastewater treatment optimization, and also energy optimization. And the next slide, I think it's about 100 million that has been invested in this by Geni Water. The last slide, Chairperson, last is on the strategic integrated projects. This is what is known normally as SIP19. Water boards are also implementing these strategic integrated projects, which are coordinated by TCCA, and they are monitored by the presidency on a monthly and quarterly basis. And these projects are supposed to unlock the economic and social development and also employment creation in a number of areas. They are registered under Infrastructure South Africa. And Infrastructure South Africa also, through the infrastructure fund, they have supported some of these projects through the feasibility studies and also packaging them to become a bankable project. So these, over the 10-year period, we are hoping to invest 32 billion rand. And the current annual budget is almost 1 billion. And most of these budgets are also coming from the budgets of water boards themselves. So what follows then is the detailed list of each water board and the status of where they are in the corporate plan. They are detailed, Chairperson. I think DDG, that's all from me. Thank you very much, DDG, and DM Chabalala. I'm finished. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Chair. That's the presentation. Obviously, like we said, the board, we've invited them to come so that you know that they are here. But if there's any interaction that obvious honorable members would have with them, I would greatly appreciate that. So I can hand over back to you, Chairperson. That's our presentation.
Thank you very much. Can I see hands? Take us on the platform. I have the hand up on Mrs. Mohlala. I'm awaiting hands because the hand that come up when somebody is on platform is troublesome. One hand only.
Chairman, of course, you congratulate her. You fight him down, you graduate in the manner.
Well,
hey,
man, congratulations.
No.
Honorable Mashiko, when you started giving them your remarks as the chairperson, but I really don't agree with you in terms of the 15th of December holiday that your president just announced. It's not really a holiday because this year the 15th of December falls. The 16th of December, which is the Reconciliation Day, is on Saturday. Automatically on the 15th, it was a holiday. So I think the president was just misleading people by saying that he's giving us the holiday because it's already been...
Don't pass it. If the holiday falls on Sunday, the Monday following becomes a holiday. You don't give the holiday prior to the holiday. You give the holiday after the holiday. If it is going to be on Saturday, nothing wrong. But once it is on Sunday, you give it to Monday. So it is a holiday. It's an extension of the weekend holiday.
The former leader of workers is
here. Okay, let's focus on the questions as per the presentation, Chair. Chairperson, my question is, how does the department intend to enhance financial sustainability and expand service coverage to currently underserved areas through the realignment of water boards? And the other question, Chairperson, can the department maybe provide insight into the department's effort to diversify South Africa's water resources beyond subsurface water, including initiatives involving groundwater, desalination, return flows from treated wastewater, and reuse of other lower quality water sources like acid mine drainage. Chairperson, the other question is, in what ways will the realignment of water boards resolve the issue of institutional overlap and confusion arising from the multiple boards serving the same geographical area? Can the department also explain or clarify the ramifications of de-establishing the Mhlathuze Water Board, transferring its assets and liabilities to Mugeni Water Board, and enlarging the territorial jurisdiction of the Mugeni Water Board to encompass the former Mhlathuze area? Chair, could the department also please provide clarity on the legal framework guiding the minister's decision and actions in reconfiguring the two water boards? Lastly, Chairperson, how does the minister ensure compliance with legal obligations to extensively consult with legally mandated stakeholders and appropriately consider the concerns of creditors and consumers when making the decision? The last one, Chairperson. What were the responses of SALGA affected municipalities being on the realignment of water boards in South Africa? And there's another question that I want to ask, maybe just to understand, because sometimes we use terms in English, and then we end up in somewhere. I want to understand why is the reconfiguration of water board necessary? And then how does it provide maybe sufficient support to undercapacitated water service authorities in meeting the rising demand for services from communities? And also ensuring that there is the presence of skilled and qualified engineers. If we can get a proper explanation on that one, the last one, I want to understand, why did we decide on reconfiguring and why is it necessary? Thank you.
Thank you. What about don't answer the political questions as asked by Honorable Sala, Honorable Mashobo and Shabalala might want to do that, because the questions asked by Honorable Mukala are twofold. It is the questions to the department, which report is not a departmental report, it is the board's report. The report is giving progress report, but it doesn't matter. She's right, want to get help. No, I'm sorry, I will not give you time to time, because this sentence is just double time.
Yeah, you're correct, then it's twofold. The board can also respond.
Yeah, so I'm saying the board, okay, just a minute. In answering the questions as raised by Honorable Mushala, Minister Mashobo and Minister Shabalala, please answer the political one. Even though you will have said it in February, because the presentation of the need for reconfiguration and the decision to reconfigure was made in February. But she has been consistent in asking the questions. There is nothing wrong in answering it many times in the same way. Please, let's do that in order for an impression not to be created that you are running away from this reality, why there was a need for us to reconfigure. So the Minister, Honorable Mashala, Honorable Shabalala, and Honorable Mashobo, please try to answer that. Then, of course, the issue of whether there is job created and so forth, on the work of the configured board, the board must answer. My one question, though, is that given the status of the economic downturn in South Africa, what is your view that you are still going to make it? For instance, we consistently only speak of the money owed by municipalities to port, and we are not considering money owed by municipalities by residents. And therefore, if you look at that, then the economic product, some of this money owed by residents, it is not by their own choice. They just do not have money, given the issue of our economy. What is your take? Because that status will not change very soon, even the president himself, and I'm sure the ministers don't tell us tomorrow, that he says we are spending more on paying the debts rather than on growing the economy. Is it not telling you that indeed you are not going to turn the tide very soon to be equivalent to where we were, where you want to go? If that is the case, what is your take? You are saying that there is no way for our interruption of water supply. In Gauteng, we sometimes go for 3 to 4 days without water. What is your take? And I'm deliberately not wanting to point at you, Mr. Beto, but I have requested them to come. I waited for them. You did not raise your hand. And it is consistent from you that you want to raise your hand later and claiming that it's a technical glitch.
Yes. I agree with you with regards to the issue of mom's cry. I think your ruling is very proper. Let's just not allow him to be here today, because she's constantly doing claiming that she has a problem. No, she must just be suppressed.
I am. Let's get answers. If this is, I will take the second hand. After the answers, she will fall into that second hand. If her hand will still be there, okay. And because I know you will also come back, I am very convinced you will. Askaleba Mashobo of Mamawalala for the board.
All right, I will start. You will then close off, because I don't think I will take too much of time. There's a question on the intention to, from Honorable Mshala, let me think the question, the financial sustainability of the department, of this realignment, and that's the question that you asked. You also asked about the legal framework that gives this powers to minister to do. One is that the legal framework is outlined in Water Service Act, and it's there in Section 28, wherein it gives the minister the power to really establish and de-establish. So that's the powers that the minister has, and that's the legal framework in which this is involved. Secondly, with regards to the financial sustainability, the water board's area of operation as is are extended to really allow economies of scale and for them to have enough volumes in order to have good returns on revenue, and this will really make them to be financially sustainable and to be able to go to the market and be in a position to borrow. I think the question of the department in the efforts of the department in diversifying the South African surface water, be it on issues of desalination acid, I will leave that to Comrade Mashobo, because he is there representing us on this matter, so he can speak about that. I think the issues of the institutional overlap and geographic area, I think, was explained, and when I was doing my opening input, wherein one was very specific insofar as why we are creating this and how is it going to assist us in ensuring that the reconfigurations addresses these matters of this overlap that we see in water boards and the coverage of this board and the fact that we're saying to you that more communities would be in a position to access this water, a clean and safe water and to improve the health and the well-being of the people. And you ask a question of the institutional, overlap, and that's the one of clarity. And we said that South Africa, it has this institutional, at times, confusion that are caused by this multiple water boards saving the same geographical area. So we are saying reconfiguration seeks to eliminate this overlap, Honorable Mushana, making it very clearer which water board is responsible for which region. And this will definitely enhance the accountability and streamline the service provision. And that's what we said. Why configuration is necessary? I think we would have explained ourselves on issues of financial sustainability, the geographical areas that we want to do, the provincial alignment that needs to happen. Because in the reconfiguration process and the aligning of the boundaries of water boards more effectively into provincial boundaries, it assists, because that's how South Africa it's aligned. So the alignment can lead to this coordination. At the end of the day, you wouldn't want to misalign them like they have been now. So it's about better coordinating and cooperation between the provincial and local governments. And that then will assist us in improving the overall delivery of water services. That's why you have your IGRs, your DDMs. But if these water boards, the way they have been done, they're not aligned, and it creates a bit of those things of overlapping and so forth, and governance issues, and hence your question on issues of Umhlathuze and Umgeni, and I'll explain that one as well. The skilled and qualified engineers are quite necessary, and this has been a very much a part of why Minister Wood emphasized that in the employment, we must ensure that there are persons that are qualified, but the department can speak to that, who they've employed and make sure that they're engineers and are qualified. The SALGA question, the question on SALGA, whether the department and the engagement in the engagement process at provincial level, and what has happened is that the provincial level and did that in Eastern Cape, for instance, and they had concerns that they wanted us to also do due diligence before a decision is taken, and that's exactly what transpired, that we did a due diligence and before this could transpire, and that's what SALGA would have spoken to. The matter of Umhlathuze was a liquid company, as it was, and financially strong due to this industry of Richards Bay. So that's something else. Hence, the liabilities will go to Umgeni, and there's a way of how that those liabilities to ensure that it doesn't cause financial constraints going further. So that is something that would have been taken on. Let me allow Dear Mashobo to emphasize other areas that he would want to speak to, but I would want him to speak to the diversification of water surface in South Africa, but and other areas as well, if he can take on the questions of the chairperson, because the chairperson speaks about this ailing municipalities, economic downturn, we keep on speaking about it, which is a big issue, it's a big problem, it's lots of minds to pull together. So let me allow Dear Mashobo through you, the chair, if he can come in.
You must not be surprised about Mushala having interest in Mhlathuze. That's their hometown.
Oh, okay.
Thanks, Chair. And once again, we join you in congratulations, our national team, the Special Deborah, led by President.
Is that kind of?
Yes, that's Cairo Leadership. I'm just behind the Nile River.
I can see him. He's business. I'm not South African.
And how do you see that?
No, Chair, we need to congratulate the national team, the Springboks, and our president for always keeping his promises and the clarity you gave how holidays work, because we are more than qualified as a former leader of the workers on the ground. Chair, let's just indicate that to reconfirm what Deputy Minister Shabalala has said, Comrade Judith, these processes, one of the criticisms people normally make about our government and administration is the plethora of institutions, especially the state-owned companies. When Minister Mkunu comes in, for a number of administrations, these things of too many institutions that are not fit for purpose and responding to the mandate and helping us on our developmental goals as part of a developmental state. Minister Mkunu has been able to conclude this task within the shortest period of time in less than 2 years, since 21 August, a process that has taken time for nearly the last 20 years, and the institution has significantly been reduced. They are reduced in such a way that it's within the powers of the minister and within the law and the reform of the state-owned entities, especially in our own water sector. We are going to be achieving the economies of scale, because that is very important. But secondly, we'll be able to cover, what do we call it, the issues of wall-to-wall coverage by the water board. It's a very important issue that we are actually looking at. But also, it's also about the viability of these institutions. Hence, one of those decisions when the team presented here, not even now, because we are not coming here for the first time. Some of these institutions, because of poor governance, issues of financial viability on the basis of non-payment, also their balance sheet, because the asset base was very dwindling, or there was no asset base at all, and issues of malfeasance. We had an institution like Sedi Bank that had to perish, and we had to incorporate it into the other two institutions when the extension of the areas of operation was happening. And it does come with assets and liabilities. One of the biggest liabilities is the issue that they have raised around the issues of staffing, where some of the staffing are not even proportional with respect to the work that is to be done. The issues of salary disparities, because these institutions are not saving at the same. And then also the issues of quality. Therefore, it was correct when Minister Mkunu undertook the process as required by law. Consultation happens with all the premiers. We as deputy ministers were there, which is the premiers responsible for these provinces that they had to support. All the municipalities in those provinces were also consulted, and the Association of Local Government, they were all consulted, which is more at an executive level. We left nobody behind with respect to consultation. Even yourselves, the public representatives, we came there, we reported of this genuine undertaking, hence the progress report you have received. But at the very same time, Chairperson, were to consult anybody that was interested. We engaged with traditional leaders, we engaged with the agricultural sector, especially the farmers, the irrigation, and industries. When it comes to consultation, we've done well. That's why we have not received any objection of any kind or any form. But because there was a roadmap in terms of these processes of transforming and reconfiguration of these institutions, there were labor matters. And the unions that are part of these water boards, that the employees are going to be affected, especially in how, in certain instances, we have some. It differs from municipality, from each water board to the water board. But consultation with labor was discussed so that any matters that might adversely impact on the workers had to be dealt with. And the principles were clear. Nobody must lose his or her job. That's why the liability of more than 800 workers from Sandy Bay was spread across around the two institutions. Also, the issue that nobody will be worse off in terms of remuneration and benefits. Hence, the team says they are closing up these issues. The other risk was issues of financial viability, Chair. The financial viabilities, there is a lot of these institutions that are owing the department, but they are also being owed by some of the water users, especially the municipalities. And an institution like we've established now, called the Val Central, is having the biggest risk. Because a municipality like Machabeng, that will have no capacity at any time, Comrade Mashiko, owing us close to 5 billion rand, let alone what they owe to Eskom, and their accounts being on the verge of being attached. That's why Minister is working closely with National Treasurer to say, how do we bring the viability back? Because these water boards are getting zero provision from the fiscus. They are on their own. And hence, some of the proposals on the table that must be concluded of a possibility of offsetting what is being owed to owed by Machabeng to the Val Central and Mahalis on the basis that we'll have to offset with our own amounts that is actually sitting in terms of water use charges that the water boards are owing us. But a big board like Rainwater, on the basis that they are owed by Mfuleni, but Rainwater is not owing us, they will not be in a position to benefit from some of those particular issues. Therefore, the issue of financial viability on our side, you remember there was an Eskom plan that is led by the Deputy President to say there is a special dispensation of writing off of the debts that are owed to Eskom on a basis that there are certain conditions. That model that is applicable by Eskom through the Deputy President as directed by President, we are using it, but to a limited extent. It can't just be an open blanket in dealing with those particular issues. At a particular point, Chair, we've came to you, we've spoken to the sector about the sustainability of the sector. What else could we do to ensure that the sector is more financially viable? One of the issues the minister is looking at is issues of revenue enhancement in terms of our general standard operating procedures. It would include the issues of fixing of the assets, because a number of these institutions, they lose water. When you lose the water, it's the drop of water that goes to the ground. It has an implication when it comes to finances. Therefore, fixing of those leaks, replacing the infrastructure, putting proper calibration and billing systems so that you can give people, Mashiko, the issues of those who can afford, they must pay. A number of South Africans, their financial conditions is not good. But South Africans have assets. They are able to pay for airtime. They are able to pay for those dishes that you can even find them elsewhere when we look at the asset base. Those that must pay. But those that cannot pay our social security nets when it comes to free basic water, and the amount that gets given to the municipalities, it must be ring-fenced in such a way that it can go directly to the water boards. One of the things that we have said we will do now, because some of these municipalities are at their weakest, we have said that these water boards, because of reconfiguration, because of their capability, technical and financial, let them come closer to these municipalities at a risk. An example, Randwater and the Mfuleni municipality that we've intervened and progress has been made. They are concluding an agreement now where Randwater will become the water provider of choice in the entire value chain until to the reticulation side. They will come in, create some kind of an institution or an entity working with Mesri Alipa. Then from there, then they will be able to put new infrastructure, comrade machine. The losses that are 62 to 65%, they will be eliminated. New assets will be put on the ground, new calibration system, proper billing system, and Randwater can build directly and be able to receive that particular amount. But they are finalizing the modalities because one of the biggest income for municipalities is water and electricity. So that a certain percentage might be discussed that they will be able to deal with what we call it miscellaneous activities. That's how these water boards are coming closer to help these institutions that are unable to discharge their function. Already an agreement has been concluded between Umgeni and Kutugela Water with Ethekwini as a metro. Ethekwini as a metro, it has a number of sewer plants. Even before the issues of the floods and the disasters that were there, the infrastructure collapsed and the sewer runs into the rivers. Just to sort out the wastewater system, it requires billions of rand. Now they agree that at least about 10 of their wastewater treatment wells that carry more than two-thirds of the wastewater of the effluent there will be run, operated, and maintained by Umgeni, where they will come in with their expertise in terms of technical expertise. They will also bring in their financial capability so that they can be able to do that and be able to get money and how to use those particular issues. Then you can start to see that indeed there are these benefits of doing some of those issues. You could see at Mahalis as an example, the work that in terms of the budget facility, in terms of Mukolo crocodile system, where they are going to be having more than 4 billion rand in doing some of those issues. But going forward, we are going to be, there are proposals because we are actually doing reviews in terms of how do we fund this thing when the fiscus has no money. One of the options, Comrade Mashiko, is to use what we call it build, operate, send, and transfer, where the water utilities can come in. But then there's what we call it build, own, and operate in a form of concessions, where a private sector company will come in. They will come in as a water services provider that will have a certificate of capability by the department that they will be able to do certain things. And as a state, we'll manage the issues of tariffs that we don't have a problem. This issue of concessions must never be politicized to say we are privatizing water. An example, back at home in our province, in Bombela, we have Sululemans, Comrade Chair. Sululemans has been one of those best examples of a concession that works. The quality of water is good standard. When there's a service delivery failure or interruption, the turnaround time, very, very good, including the billing, because I'm a resident there, and it's working. The example of Midvale in the northwest, remember, it was a mining thing, and it started to help these municipalities. Their own utilities of municipalities were on the wastewater side, the Joburg water. That's what we are looking at in terms of the issues of viability leadership. Just to conclude, this thing of what the member Mtala is speaking about, you know, the question of acid mine drainage. The acid mine drainage is part of an effort as an intervention around water conservation and demand management, where we say that every drop of water that is available, we must use it. Our country is endowed with a lot of groundwater, highly polluted by the mines. What we are saying that that water must come back to the mix. An example in Mpumalanga, whether you go to Steve Twete or you go to Emalahleni, most of those mines, they are treating that water to the best quality standard. And some of that water is sold back to the municipalities, but some of the water, because of the license condition, it goes back to the water causes, whether it's the Witbank Dam, whether the Olifant system. The only problem we have is the amount, the premium that has to be paid on a treated water from acid mine drainage. And per kiloliter is very, very expensive, ranging between 7 rands to 8 rands. But when it comes to raw water, it comes between 3 to 6 rands. And those are the matters that we're discussing with the mining sector, working with the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy. But you also know Ikurhuleni, you also a resident there, Comrade Mashiko. If you go to Jimiston and so forth, there's a lot of groundwater around the mine. And then we need to look at the other areas, because if we don't attend to those issues, one, there's an environmental risk. Those mines that are abandoned in the operation has stopped, it can get flooding because of the ingress of water during rain, the zamazamas that are causing, the sinkholes that are causing. And it remains an important project. And we directed CCTA to be our lead agent to get the resources so that we can continuously run and produce more. And the other one is the reuse. Because there's too much effluent we produce, and it goes back to our rivers, it pollutes them. And the opportunity is what we did in Maritzburg with Umgeni Utukela Water, where they built a circular economy. The effluent is treated to a standard that is fit for use, not only for domestic use, but for all other uses that you could do. And then the remnants of the effluent can be used for industrial operations. It could be used for agriculture, and the sludge can be converted into the production of energy in terms of green hydrogen energy, but at the very same time, it can be used to produce the issues of fertilizers in an area where the issues of fertilizers has become a commodity that is actually in demand because of the Ukraine-Russia conflict. And these are some of the things that we are doing, and also producing electricity. That plant in Maritzburg will be producing about 1 megawatt in terms of electricity. Then you look at how can you produce more waste that goes to the VAS system and the RWS port system. That's how these water boards are demonstrating their capability on water reclamation, on acid mine drainage, on the issues of reuse. There are too many economies of scale, Chem, that if we speak about them, it will take a long time. The issues of infrastructure in Gauteng, Chem, the infrastructure in Gauteng, one, it is old. There are too many leakages. On average, between 30% to 45% of those municipalities. That's the problem, because rainwater overpumps nearly 5,000 megaliters a day, which is more than 5 billion liters. It gets to be treated by their system to give to the people of Gauteng. But they lose about 40%, 45%. Therefore, the infrastructure must be revamped in Gauteng so that it can be in a position to be able not to lose water, or if there are losses, they are acceptable. Secondly, in Gauteng, the population has grown. Less than 10 years ago, we were about 11 million. Now we're more than 16 million in Gauteng homes. Therefore, the necessary infrastructure, which is the secondary infrastructure like the pump stations, the reservoirs to hold water, a little bit much longer, on the basis that
there is a, if there's load shedding, you'll have a problem. But there's also high level of consumption that is running at about 300 liters per person per day. And at the very same time, we are having these issues of climate change. During summer, people are using water unwisely. So therefore, we run out of water in Gauteng because the infrastructure we have not been able to increase. But municipalities, all of them without exception, even in Tshwane where I stay, they are putting more reservoirs, they are putting more pumps so that in areas that are highlighting, you don't run out of water. Ekurhuleni, we must commend them. They are the only metro there that is actually, in terms of the targets agreed, in terms of water conservation and demand management. They are actually using less. But we can't commend them only for doing that because people of Kwatema, Sakane, and everywhere, they are running out of water at particular intervals. The minister has set up a leadership meeting at a local level, but the technical team led by the CEOs, Sipho, Msai, and the provincial head and all these city managers, in the morning, they look at the level of reservoirs. They know where they want to do the shift, whether to reduce in terms of the valves. At night, they are using pressure-reducing valves. Those are some of the things that they need to do. But in the meantime, we must also be able to speak to the citizens of Gauteng and elsewhere that our behavior has to change on how we use water, those who have access to water. But at the very same time, municipalities must then apply the bylaws in terms of response. The capabilities of the water board in Gauteng, especially rainwater, your job at water, I don't want to fault them. They are very, very capable. But they will have to address the infrastructure backlog. In terms of bulk water, remember this pump station 5, additional more than 100 megaliters was given. Your flag fountain somewhere, Ekurhuleni, more than 210 megaliters, they are being made more available. And rainwater early next year, they will add more additional megaliters into the system so that we don't run out of water in Gauteng. That would be the response, Your Excellency, Comrade Chair. Thank you.
Now report.
Maybe I don't know, Chair, if the matters have not been sufficiently covered. Thank you, dear Mahlobo. If you check all the questions, there were more of structural questions, legal questions. Why did we do this policy level? There wasn't necessarily a specific question to the board besides the question of the liabilities from Umhlathuse to the other one, from Umhlathuse to Umngeni. I think that was the question that was there that I think Ms. Thobo can respond to, if you allow, Chair.
I was not awaiting you to respond. I'm expecting the boss to say what you're saying if they want to say that. We have a full feed, mind you. But I want to let them talk.
Bangakulu Masalo, Malfiti Suba, Kone Sikshil, and Amasba, Mr. Zendenga.
Funalo, Bakon, Babash.
But the mother too, the wish with silence means consent.
We will go first. Members, anyone who wants to have a take on the answers given? The end of my try is, Mam Kala is up. Mam Kwai, I want to wait for you now.
The system is kicking out leadership. The network is not going to be able to
It might be that she has lost off. Let's hear from her. Mom cried. Okay. No one. No. If we take it that you will have heard the minister is okay, let us give Mtala.
No, thank you so much, Chairperson. It's just two questions, follow-up questions. My question is with regards to what the minister, Deputy Minister, was responding to on also engaging on private companies to assist us going forward. He also even further said that we must not see that as privatizing water. So my question is, I think the government's ability to engage private companies is hampered by the financial challenges. He also mentioned that. It's not something new. And also the infrastructure decay under this current administration of the ANC. So my question is, does this not underscore a larger issue of the government's capacity to generate revenue and lead effectively, especially as state entities continue to face difficulties? It's not going to end where you are. We are still looking on this issue now as a challenge there. But the challenge we are failing us.
You are gone, Mtala? Mtala? She's gone. Is it me who is lost, or is Mtala who is lost?
I'm still there.
No, but you are not talking.
I'm the only one. Now I'm in the second one. I'm finalizing the second one.
Mm. Start the second one. You can't. We have not heard you when you're doing the second one.
No, the second one, doesn't this risk becoming a recurring pattern, where, in the face of mismanagement and leadership challenges, we resort to the practice of continually establishing new entities and phasing out the existing ones? That is my question. Every time we have a problem, we now have to trace this one, we go and create another one, all those things. Even if it's going to be a recurring problem, and we find ourselves now being in the mess at a later stage. Thank you.
No, but Mr. Why are we having too many institutions working in the same region? Now, the idea is to address that. Let us have a one-stop shop where everybody can be answerable by one rather than multitude of institutions doing the same thing at the same time. And to find the municipalities owing quite a number of entities when we're supposed to be owing one. And you were saying that when in your question earlier on, why are you still not wanting to agree with it when they are centralizing all others? Mom Nancy, if it is your hand that is struggling, can you come in? I don't want to talk about forever.
No, Mashiko, I've never...
I'm a pilgrim, Mom Nancy, let me go to your camping. Mom Nancy.
Mm-hmm. Mamnesi is disconnected, Chair. I was trying to call her on the side.
Let me clarify that again. We are still waiting for her. We are talking about realignment, which the department took a decision to do the realignment. My question before was,
in what ways will this realignment of yours, of water board, resolve the issue of institutional overlay? That was my question.
That's the question.
Now I'm coming back. You are resolving it, but I'm also concerned because some of the issues. No. Listen, it was not only because of the overlap. The reason why you did whatever you did, it was also because of Deputy Minister Masovo was saying that some of the boards were experiencing challenges. There's a lot of challenges that they were experiencing. Hence, we had to cut them. So my question is, isn't it this going to be a recurring pattern? Every now and then when we experience problems, then we had to go and try by all means to rearrange and start another entity, kill this one and all those things.
Don't listen to people lobbying you to represent them in an official meeting. You are not working with the board. How do you know whether there are no problems with the board?
I'm asking questions.
You are
on the response we received from the leader.
Before you can answer,
the executive is here. They talk. They gave us answers. Now I must ask.
Let's clarify Paita Mushali.
Finish it off.
I'm done because he said he's giving
I'm done.
I'm waiting for the
flurry. The first answer, Paita Mushali, it will assist. That when it comes to issues of funding, all governments all over the world, they do have their own challenges for one reason or the other. We are not an exception. Remember, we are part of a global village now. COVID-19 has biggest issues, resources that to be redirected, and even in terms of import and export, in terms of foreign direct investment and so forth, you will know now that the world is on a periphery, high levels of instability, and resources are being redirected. In our country, the ANC government has never been confused. We have chosen a path of a mixed economy trajectory. There's a role of the state where it must create enabling conditions. It must intervene where it is necessary. But South Africa is the strongest private sector that is sitting with trillions and trillions of rands that we must be in a position to use in terms of that. Therefore, the role of the private sector and the role of the public sector led by the state remain our guiding principle when we handle these particular issues. You know, time immemorial, When the mining economy for the country and the agricultural economy was done, water was one of the most important imperatives. Those guys had the chance to support their apartheid economy, including the issues of their mining potential. They to create an institution like a water board called Rainwater. They actually have given it to do a legislation and act of a private company that is only to provide water to the mining sector in the valley at the time. That's what happened. And over time, agriculture was one of those issues. Then you had the department for irrigation that was supporting where they would go to a barren land and they put the biggest canals to do those particular issues. Therefore, our attitude to say there is a mix and a combination on how water will be funded. The state will continue to play an important role. Over the last 30 years, they have given a lot of money to municipalities on infrastructure related, including national and provincial government. You know, in terms of division of revenue, and tomorrow, Comrade Minister Enoch Godongwana will speak about those issues. The state will still lead
around those particular issues. Then we have also taken a decision that we have the capacity as a state, as the only shareholder of some of the entities of the state that has a strong balance sheet, they have the assets and they have the technical know-how. These institutions, these water boards you see, they have an experience of running into decades, where they've been at the center for providing water to those that were denied, including the economic benefits of water that were denied. That's why the intervention, when you look at Umgeni intervening at Ethekwini that is struggling now in terms of the financial reserves, that they are coming in as a state-owned entity. We are taking the risk as a state that they will be able to fix that particular issue. At a particular point when some of us were young, there was a company from France called Vivendi that Ethekwini used to use just to manage their wastewater system. Issues of concession, Chair, they are not privatization. It's part of the funding model. But the only thing the state must do, you create the condition from the procurement point of view, you follow the processes in terms of the Municipal Finance Management Act, but on our side, because these are water-related providers, we must ensure the capability of these providers. Hence our view to amend the legislation to do the licensing of water providers, because there are certain water providers that want to distinguish them from the water authorities, so that they can be held accountable. When they do well, there is an incentive. That's why about Togo Baba President and DM Shabalala, they are looking at enhancing our regulatory capability. And then when they are not doing well, like other utilities or water providers, you then impose sanctions. Because at the end of the day, the water must flow to people. It must flow to those other sectors. That's what we'll do. It's not a new phenomenon. The issues of private sector is not a new thing. We have reported to you, Chair, that under Minister Mkunu, the issues of Val Samahara in the Northern Cape, where the mining sector wanted water for the mining activity, and the domestic use, which is a municipality, you can't have those big infrastructure going through those particular communities without having access. They did contribute to phase one. We are already on starting of phase two, where the contribution is going to be made. And what is more important about that relationship, how we set up the tariffs, how we manage the issues of the protection of the most vulnerable, is an important example. We shared with you the example of Ivan plants in the Limpopo province with Mhalakwe, a small municipality that has a potential, that is poor. These private sector, they come in, they build the state-of-the-art wastewater treatment work so that the housing development and the people that will work in the mining community, when they produce the effluent, that effluent can be used for the mining operations, because as we are saying, not every drop of water will count. How we recycle it, how we reuse it, and how it is fit for a particular use is not going to be a problem. These are a number of examples, Chair, that we are doing, but we still know that there are South Africans who don't have access to water, and those are the people that President Ramaphosa says, don't leave them behind. And working with you, like you have been guiding us as a Popolo Committee, and we are reaching to many of those communities, and intergovernmental relations is working well. On issues of desalination, as an example, you always ask about it. We have taken a decision that because the technology is expensive, there is also the inhibiting factor on the issue of power generation. It needs a lot of power. Then there's an environmental consideration of the disposal of brine. That one, we are going out to independent water producers, where we'll invite the request for information, and people are going to bid. When they bid, government must provide an opportunity for water purchase agreements, which we call them off-take agreements. When they are being signed, government will always use the instrument on its hand. There are two instruments. We are going to provide the license for these independent water producers or utilities or providers. But at the very same time, the issue of the tariff setting is still rests with the state. we can be able to determine the price so that we cannot be in a position to stop investment, but at the very same time, we don't create the biggest burden on the poorest of the poor in how to deal with those issues. But when we find time, we'll brief more Faita Mosala on these issues. The last matter, Chairperson, you are correctly guiding her. Initially, she complained about the number of institutions. We are not actually increasing the institutions in the water sector. We are building on the existing capabilities that exist there. And the institutions that have a biggest footprint, have the asset base, have the technological know-how, and the technical know-how. That's what we have done. The overlap has been eliminated as an issue. These water boards, whether in Limpopo, the Pele, KwaZulu-Natal, Ungeno, Tugela, the Vast Central and the other, which is Free State and Northern Cape, and then the other one, Amatola in the Eastern Cape, over back in the Western Cape, and then this Mahalis in Northwest, Mpumalanga and Gauteng, Randwater. There is no confusion around the issues, that there is no overlap that are happening. But we must be able to complete the task. Like we've been given certain times around December and early next year to conclude some of the issues around due diligence, around certain issues of assets. Because some of these assets were belonging to certain people. But without a disrupting service delivery and the transition of reconfiguration, rationalization, and realignment of these institutions has been taken well in terms of some of these. But there is a risk register. We don't want to have another study being again. And the risk in the main is falling under the Vast Central, falling under Mahalis. That's why the minister is looking at mechanisms on how to relieve them of the burden of the liability that we inherited. And our discussion with National Treasury and Cabinet is very advanced. And we think this mechanism that we related of, on how ESCOM, they were able to offset the debt, and we can do the same, but at the very same time, strengthen local government so that those who can pay, they can pay. That's why revenue management, billing and others at a local government level and credit control. Going forward, we must tighten this thing together, because if we don't, the situation will be so dire. Our ideals of providing water for all South Africans, including getting benefits in terms of the economy, will be threatened by the culture of non-payment. But not only the culture of non-payment, the culture of abundance, of being flagrant when it comes to water use, as if we don't appreciate that we're a water-scarce country. We need to start to use less drops and produce more. I thank you.
No, thanks, DM, but I think my experience of being in trade union movement, I understand now the quantum of a concession vis-a-vis privatization. For instance, I was involved in the Transnet SAA concession in 1991. And we, as a trade unionist, I was very strong that
And Mosala was still in primary school.
And we fought that that concession is privatization. When I came to parliament, I realized that no, SAA is still owned by the state. A transfer is still owned by the state. That's why we are bailing them out consistently. However, Mr. Honorable Mashaba, the present 51 sale of the 100% of SAA can't be concession, it's privatization. It is when you turn it into that. But concession can give away anything up to 49%, but once it gives away 51, it's no longer concession, it's privatization. So on the SAA matter, you are not concessioning a privatizer. You are selling the majority shareholding to private people. But on this one of water, no, you are not doing, you are not privatization. It's build, own, operate, and transfer for the 49 back to the owner. That I understand. But 51-49, must have been supported. Must have seen.
So khuluma ku study group leyo.
Honorable Matsiro, listen here and DM. Anything that speaks to privatization and with no benefits of the poorest masses of the people, now we are not part of as the economic freedom fighter. As Honorable Mutlala, we are not going to be part of that thing. But the good thing is, you are not going to do this thing because next year May, you will be out. And then when you start to try to do these things, the EFF will be in power, will be able to put things orderly as we are thinking they must.
So Divine ground is fighting.
You won't be there. So it's just rhetoric what you are saying here. The implementation part is going to be us. We'll be sitting there and saying...
But we'll not give a to campaign on water. We'll deliver water.
Up until August...
I'll show you. Did you see what you just said? It says 80%, there's the EFF coming, and then you are now stuck. You are now declining to 38%. So you are just going down and down and down like that. And 38%, you think even like
Motala, 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 after 100 years, man, how could you do male?
Yeah, okay.
Motala, I'm going to release the meeting. I'm going to call now.
Thank you very much. The item is passed. And we are going for the second item. We will meet on the ground, Mutala. This meeting does not win elections. You win elections on the ground.
That's correct, Honorable Matsiro. We agree. Let's go and meet on the ground. We'll show you this time around.
Sure, Mutala. That's fine. You got only 1% in case I can buy election for any day, so keep quiet, man. Not before the second item. We are very much out of time. Let us become conscious.
Alright. Adoption of ministership.
Minutes of the 10th of October 2023 on page 1.
Chair, are we released with the department officials for this item?
You can.
Alright, thank you so much, DDTs and all the boards. You are released. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, GM. Thanks, Chair. Thank you. Page 2. Page 2, that's the introduction of page 1. 2 is okay. The meeting adjourned at 12:09. Can I have the mover, the second, or anybody want to contest something?
Miss Maduba's hand is up, Chairperson.
Okay, so because I can't see that side because you are still okay. Maybe I can. Let me see. Mr. Maduba.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, colleagues and officials. Chair, I move for the adoption of the minutes of the 10th October 2023. Thank you very much.
Any second of the minutes?
Chair.
Chair, yeah. Can I second the move.
Thank you very much. Let me just check who is in this meeting, because I don't appreciate this lullness in the meeting. Where are the others? How many are we? Why? Okay, here we are.
I'm in the meeting, Chair.
Five, Dylan.
Listen.
Who is that?
Peterson, Chair.
Peterson, I don't see your name, your hand yet. Well, are your hand heavy? Why is it not doing this? Is Becky in the meeting?
He was, Chairperson, but don't show it, he's still in.
Okay. So we are now, the minutes of the 10th have been moved by Honorable Matuba and seconded by Honorable Seke. So the minutes is really moved and seconded. The second set of minutes?
The first set was for 9 o'clock in the morning. Remember, we had another meeting on the 10th in the afternoon. So this is the second minutes of the 10th.
Oh, yeah, 1400 hours now. Okay. Page one. Page 2. Oh. Page 3, that's where we ended the meeting at 16:50.
Chairperson, can I just please come in?
And when outside of himself, so, okay. Class room.
Oh, I thought with minutes you can just. No, Chairperson. You know what is going to assist us going forward is these things of observations. Number 3, let's capture the meaning properly. We are not saying that they must put names of who said what, but what were those observations? The committee members engaged at length on matters. What were the matters? Because minutes is something that next time when we don't agree, we just say, go and pull those minutes. Then we must see what were we discussing about. Then when it comes like that, it will discuss in length. What did we discuss in length? So let them just summarize there. The portfolio committee acknowledged 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The portfolio committee, da, 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 like that, like that. We are not going to have minutes. This is not minutes, actually. We are not supposed to be adopting these minutes. According to me, this is not minutes. Thank you.
No, Mimsala, you can...
But it's just reflecting names of who were present, who were not present.
You can't play the music and dance yourself and believe that the music is nice. Let's the amendment you want to make is our correct amendments for purposes of how we will want us to see. But this is how minutes have been presented for many years. But there's nothing wrong in amending it, because under normal circumstances, you will find that in the minutes they do write that this is the executive summary. The correct minutes can be made available at request. But you are saying, why are we not wanting to say this is what was raised, this is what was said, without necessarily saying what Honorable Mutala said, 1, 2, 3, but just to say in the meeting this is what the members have raised, and this is how the members recommended in the recommendations, or instead of observations, what were the recommendations of the committee? Which is there in the bigger scheme of minutes, but it is not said yet. I don't think that is a difficult thing to request. No, Sipo, is it difficult?
No, Chairperson.
Okay. So, that amendment which you are asking, Honorable Mkalak, can be adhered to, but it has not changed that this is how the minister has been captured for so many years. And therefore, but you are recommending that let us be a little bit informative enough for people who can read the minute in our absence to understand what we're talking about. I don't think there is something wrong with that. So, and the secretary says it is doable in the next time. Yes.
No, I agree with you, but I don't agree with you that we've been going through like this, and we never, before, when it was still human settlement and water and sanitation, the minutes were much better than this, because we engaged, and then we came to a decision where we say, let's write proper minutes. As the EFF, we rejected this thing. We said, no, it's not going to happen, because it doesn't say anything. It's not talking, it's just quiet, this minute. So we don't actually know what are we adopting here, because it's just the names, and then we say that there's recommendation, which we don't see those recommendations, and then it became better afterwards. So this one, it is wrong, we must not allow it, but I agree with you that let's go and ensure that we do a proper thing. You know what why I'm saying this thing? I went to PMG. I know the manner in which we are capturing PMG minutes and our minutes, it can be different. We went to, we were in the meeting last week of Warrington and other, and Rustenburg matters. Then I went to PMG to check. When I arrived at PMG, I found out that I've moved for adoption. It's not reflecting there. Honorable Basson seconded the adoption. It is not reflecting there. I understand it's not you, but others who adopted on top there, it is reflecting that so-and-so adopted, so-and-so seconded. But when it comes to our part, it was not captured. Hence, I'm saying, because those ones, will address them aside. If they are here in the meeting, they need to be addressed. They must capture, if they are mentioning names of the people, they must mention our names as well. So if we can't find justice with the PMG, let our minutes also reflect what happened. More especially with regards to the adoption. The adoptions must also explain or clarify or give details of who was the mover, who was the seconder. So in that regard, the PMG did not show. Hence today, I'm focusing too much on minutes. Let's make sure that we write our minutes properly. And if there was any form of adoption, we must reflect there that there was an adoption. It was moved by so-and-so, seconded by so-and-so, all those things. Hence, I'm addressing these things, Chairperson. Thank you.
We have just agreed on the format that we have proposed. It is not applying retrospectively. It is applying as of. So if you say, you will find why it having been said in the last minute, it will be wrong. Though I am happy, I was happy even myself that day that you moved and seconded by
honorable. Yeah, but the PMG did not capture us. It captured others, it left
no,
us.
No, but...
please address them, they must capture properly.
No. Let's look at this 1 minute. Is there where people's names are mentioned, who moved and who seconded?
I'm saying
scroll down on this minute. Okay, go then you can change up. The adoption of the minutes, is there anywhere where it says who and where moved the seconded? In this minute.
Yes. No, yes. In this minute, no.
In the other minute?
Okay. Yes, it's captured.
In the other
and
minute?
We have changed it as a flag that the EFF has changed.
It shows. Mkhala, you are saying where you abstain, the minute shows that you abstain.
It must show. That is the reason for the meeting.
No, that's fine. That is why.
Where we are saying, it must
Mikala,
show.
Listen, Mikala.
It was written like this before from 2019. I don't know what changed
Mikala,
now.
Mikala, unless specifically there was a reason why you moved the 6 minutes, therefore you want it recorded for people to see. We are not going to do what you're saying. We are saying, give as of now moving forward, the minute must a little bit be informative to people. It will do that. It does not apply suspective. That's not the point I'm making. So these minutes are moved and seconded. Can you go to the said minister?
Who moved and seconded, Chairperson?
Was they moved? Maybe I'm wrong. Were they moved or not? It was not moved. Before it was moved, Mikala raised their hand.
Yes.
So can you get the mover and the second of the minute of the dead, the second part of the first minute on the at 49 hours?
Chair?
Yes.
Yeah, we take it that the observations and the findings were covered in the report on the BRR. So I for the terms of this minute to be a true reflection of what transpired.
Mama Tuba, your hands up.
What statement is that one? Because you must just move.
I'm sharing the meeting.
Chair, what Mama statement? But can we please be clarified? What statement?
Madi Peters.
Because either you say you move with amendment. Then you mention the amendment. I don't know what statement is that because
you are not sharing the meeting. I'm sharing the meeting.
Please, I'm asking.
I heard the mover of the minute.
And the second.
Matua is second in the minute. The meeting is second. The meeting are seconded by Honorable Matua. Anyone who has got a different view? None. The third set of minutes. It is the minute of the 17th of October. The minutes on page one. Hello? Madi, switch off your mic. Honorable Peterson. Who is that?
I don't know.
Mama Tua, switch off your mic. Is your hand up? Just a minute.
No, Chair, it's a legacy hand.
Unmute, Chairperson.
Okay, I see you again. Page two. Page three. Page four. Page five. With that amendment that was made earlier, as recently amended, moved by Honorable Mushala, that the content of the minutes should a little bit change and take into cognizance the decisions that taken, and it must also indicate the mover and the second. Because at some point, I don't understand why it's disappointing, because you are consistently asking us who is moving, who is seconding. After having said so, where do you record those things?
Chair,
where that, as to who is moving. Even now, you have moved here, you have asked me who is moving and who is second. When they move and second, you don't show them.
It is, Chairperson. It's just that in these meetings, there were no consideration or adoption of anything, but you will see in the next minutes where we adopted minutes is going to reflect.
So how do you say it in this minute? There is no need. You have just asked me now whether who is moving, and I said we said it is Honorable Beke and Honorable Matuba. And
that will reflect the local chairperson in the minutes of this meeting that will be adopted.
This one we are adopting now, it was moved by Honorable Motala as well as by Honorable Baswan. Where is it showing?
The minutes of the 17th chairperson, so it's not going to reflect. It's going to reflect on the minutes of the 31 October.
Okay, that's fine. Any mover of this minute?
I'll move, chairperson.
Honorable Baswan moves.
I second that, Chair.
I second.
I want to deliberately leave out Honorable Beke and speak the second one. Who was that? Okay. Honorable Beke second, but that other one is gone. Okay. Anyone who's opposed to it is the mover? None.
Of the 24th October.
The minutes of the 24th of why are we adopting four sets of minutes when we've been having meetings with people?
We also adopted four yesterday, last week.
But why do you make us do that? When we sit every week in meetings and we're adopting minutes and we're for the file level of 4 minutes. No, it must not happen that way. But it shows us not working. If you sit and we have got a pileup of 4 minutes, it means we're not there doing work for the previous like 4 meetings of not adopting the minutes. It shouldn't. The minutes of the 24th, 9 o'clock, page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Hello, hold on. Cut Honorable Michelle. Just a minute, hold on. Can't be controlled. That go up a bit. Go down a bit.
What did I do now?
No, I'm saying consideration and adoption of the outstanding minutes. It says here, the chairperson tabled the following minutes of consideration and adoption of by the committee. The minutes dated the 5th of September 2023, Ms. Peterson moved for the adoption and Ms. Taker moved to second. Minutes of the 12th September 2023 moved by Mr. Taker and for the adoption and Ms. Matuba for second. Minutes of the 19th of September 2023 and Ms. Taker moved for the adoption and Ms. Taker moved for second. And you are saying where that the minutes have not been shown this thing to a level where you are saying where you moved it does not show. So are you, and you were saying it is common cause that we do not show this thing. And you made me to agree with you that it must start showing.
The problem with you, Chairperson, sorry, I was so tired. It really, the minutes, the difficulties, the lot of discussion, those minutes are not written properly. Then I went and reflect on the minutes of the PMG that they did not also reflect properly because we have adopted but is not reflecting on PMG. Then I then reprimand myself and say that Konje PMG is not us, but I hope with us it will reflect. The PMG,
okay.
Please address them in this meeting that they must ask.
So
I went and checked PMG, we did not see ourselves there, but we have adopted. So I said, because PMG is sitting here, please reprimand them to put us, because we moved and the Honorable Person also seconded. But he did not put, they did not put us there. But with other ones on top, on the very same minutes, they are showing that Honorable Zegi adopted with regards to 1, 2, 3. And but when we come to the issue of warranting, they did not put us. They just...
Let's look at it. If it says that way, then we'll correct.
I'm saying the PMG, unless if you have the report of the PMG.
But I don't adopt minutes of PMG. I don't see them.
Hence, I was just reflecting. I was reflecting. I said the manner in which minutes are said, it is wrong. I also saw on PMG.
Can we get the move of the minutes?
I've raised my hand, Chairperson.
Can we get the move of the minutes?
I've raised my hand with regards to this minute. They are
you
also
remember, Mutala, the process is that you move, you second, and you counter move and you talk. Let's follow that.
No, it's not like that with the minutes.
It is like that.
No. You first show us the minutes, then you set any input with regards to this meeting, to this minute. I will raise my hands and I say
unless
that
you want to,
I don't so this
you have a class
the minute.
Of sharing of
and
the
then
minute.
Somebody who want to move, you will say that he moved with the of the
unless you want to open a class of how to share a meeting.
No, we'll teach you, machine. It's not like that. You also
I shared the meeting when
we also allow people to put input on the meeting.
Can I have a mover of the minutes?
Yes, Chair, I move for the acceptance of this minutes.
Can I have a second,
Yes, Chair, I second. I've raised my hand. I want to do the way you want. Yeah. I count these minutes. They are not written properly. We need to write minutes in a correct order. You can't just write minutes and mention that the content advisor said this. Then it was adopted by this. We are saying, tell us what was the contribution in the meeting. There is no contribution here. They also said minutes of the dated the 5th, Mr. Peterson moved for adoption and Zega seconded, as if there was no contribution. If there was any contribution, I'm not saying there were contributions there. If there was something, reflect it. If there was movement, you moved with amendment, reflect it on the minutes. So this one is not even speaking as well. The only minutes that I saw speaking is the one of the catchment management center, that one is the minutes. You can see that they are explaining this is what was tabled, this was what discussed, and all those things. But this one says nothing. As if we just came there to move and adopt it. We came there, we did our contributions. We are saying that you don't have to put our names. Say what were said in this, what was the contributions in the meeting. These minutes are just fired. They are not saying anything. We were not here just to come and adopt second. No, we're here to do, we make contributions in the meeting. Then afterwards, we adopted the report and others seconded the report. It must reflect like that. These are not minutes. These are not minutes, and you can adopt them alone because this is how the ANC has been operating in 30 years. And what they do, they will come and vote for each other and move because they are using their number. Do that, but you're doing something that is wrong. You'll come back next time and revise what you have done. Chair?
The minute is duly moved and seconded. what Ms. Mhlala was saying, that her name and that of Mr. Pastor is not shown, it must be said on record, it's a lie. Because here it is that Mrs. Mhlala moved to adopt the report.
That's not the one who's lying, the whole public and the whole media.
So I'm saying...
you are the one who's lying, because you are just, you have just decided to quote me wrongly. So that is this, your own baby. If you want to quote me, like you did before, you
if you are investing at some point,
and it's not going to happen. Let me tell you, it's not going to happen. I can speak for myself. You are not going to quote me. I'm saying to you, minutes must be proper, and we must.
They were not going to allow this.
The minute has been adopted. That of the 24th, it is now adopted, moved as seconded. Mm-hmm. Can you get into the second item? I just mute Mutala's mic forever. Okay. The second point, the following item.
Closing remarks, Chairperson.
Okay. Thank you very much. I think we must appreciate the fact that as I said, that people, let's avoid over violation of the minutes. It is not a good thing to do. If we have the minutes, a meeting this week, next week, that's 5 minutes. It just gives them a good chronology of the events. And I think it is very unfortunate that we are made to jump up and down in adoption of the minutes, more especially because, and I think we must state this thing of Honorable Mhlala. He seems to be impressing other people in whatever she says in the meeting. So, and I think our meeting should actually be very monitored and not before. Some body do not understand why he's in the meeting. Don't allow him. Unless Mhlala is sitting somewhere with a group of people that is wanting to impress. Because whatever she does, it is an unparliamentary. This is a committee of parliament. You don't do what she's doing. But of course, the EFF has been the EFF.
No, you are very out of order. I'm not here to impress anyone. That. I'm here to represent the poorest masses of the people.
But I said...
I'm here to correct things that the ANC government has been doing for 100 years.
But why are you not listening?
It's you who are making things wrong. You can't care. You can't take proper decisions.
I'm here to make you
account and the executive account.
That is being stupid of you to say.
No, it's you who's stupid, Mashiro.
Order.
What are you saying? If Mashiro was saying I'm stupid, I'm responding on him. If I'm stupid, he's stupid as well.
The meeting is adjourned.
There's no one whom I'm just addressing issues. How can I be stupid when I'm addressing issues?
You are.
Yeah.